The phrase cars of the future always gets me, and someone's going to help us with that. And maybe the cars of the future are really here, or it's not what we envisioned it to be. Carl Brower is automotive expert and executive analyst at iccars.com. He joins us. Carl, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so the hook for this whole thing is when someone said, oh, we have an interview, talk about cars of the future. And I took a book out in elementary school about cars of the future. Maybe the outsides don't always look the same. They don't levitate. The flying car is still in the future for all of us. But let's talk about some of the things that are really in those cars that is sort of the future that's now. What are some of the things in technology that really have made it easy for us?
Absolutely, and that's kind of the key, right, is that we see technology kind of synchronizing with cars to make life easier for people who are dealing with their vehicles. And that can be a lot of things. Connected car services where you've got an app on your phone and it talks to your car even when you're nowhere near it, so you can unlock it. Someone needs to get something out of it and they don't have the keys and you're 1,000 miles away, they can call you, you can unlock the car, they can get in. You can start the car when it's in your garage and it's cold in the morning, have it warmed up so you get in the car, it's already warm inside. You can be aware of its location, you can know when its next service is due, you can check all these things without ever being, near the vehicle. So that's one. I think the other thing that we're seeing in cars is this kind of home-based convenience that a lot of automakers are going for, right? They're making it so they will come to your house and pick the car up and then drop it back off when it needs service. And they'll even come out and leave the car there for a test drive when you're going to buy one. And this was available or somewhat going on before the pandemic, but obviously it's gotten very popular in the last 6 months. So those are a couple things. The other big one is SUV sales have exploded, especially luxury SUV sales. So we're just seeing more and more in the future. We're going to just keep seeing the SUV getting more and more popular with a lot of these high-tech features we're talking about.
When did this idea, and I guess the phrase is like a concierge, this sense for this at-home service, it's sort of, I guess the business had to go where the customers are.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what it is. And, when you've got people able to get things delivered within hours very commonly, depending on where they live, from Amazon, they can get fast food brought to them with Uber Eats. Of course, they can get every piece of entertainment they've ever wanted through streaming services. When that's the world you've grown up in as a, sub-40, sub-30-year-old, you're not going to put up with having to go and spend hours going through a process at a dealer if you have the option to do all that stuff from the comfort of your home, get the insurance figured out, get the financing figured out, have the car brought to you for test driving and then brought back for the final paperwork signing. That's what a lot of the younger people and really all people appreciate and would rather do.
So when you look at these technologies, are they in fact, as you say, driven, no pun intended, by a younger generation coming up who simply is so used to doing things in a certain fashion, they want it done with their cars and SUVs and trucks?
Absolutely. I think the smartphone has become a centerpiece for a lot of people's lives, especially younger people. And when you can do things like, Genesis has this great Smart Park Assist feature, which is really amazing, right? You stand outside of the car and you use your phone or the key to remotely park it, drive it in and out of its parking space. So you got a narrow parking space you don't want to have to get in and out of, do that limbo that we all do, getting in and out of narrow spaces on the side of the car. You get out of the car before you've pulled in, and you stand outside, and you can have a great perspective on where exactly you want to stop because you can see where the parking blocks are and move it with your phone. That's just one example. Again, the connected car stuff we talked about, the larger high-resolution screens and gauge clusters, again, that mimics what we see going on with phones, these higher and higher resolutions with all these touch controls. And now you see it in the cars with the central touch of the screen or the high-res gauge cluster that's constantly changing and giving you the most important information, just like your phone can do with, alerts.
We were talking today with Carl Brower, the automotive expert executive analyst at iccars.com. You've been involved in the car industry for a couple decades as well. Can you look back even from a decade or two and see how different things are and believe it?
No, I can't. I mean, I'm a huge tech geek along with being a car guy, so the two worlds coming together over the last 10 years is thrilling for me. I love it. But it is amazing when you think about what you're able to do with a car and a phone and the ability to just control all these aspects of the vehicle remotely, or when you're in the vehicle, it drives itself, not completely. There's a lot of people who think we've got the self-driving car already, and we don't. But when you're in a certain circumstance on the freeway and the car can maintain its speed through smart cruise control based on the speed of cars ahead of it and maintain its location in the lane, you know, at least for a limited amount of times without you even touching the wheel before it reminds you you have to stay in control of the car. That's very future. We're not quite flying cars like Jetsons yet, as you mentioned, but we're keep moving that direction, and I think we're gonna see some amazing things in the next 10 years.
I was looking at that as cruise control, where it says it learns to automatically drive in the same pattern as its driver. Some people would think, I hope that, you know, if I'm behind the wheel, I hope it doesn't drive like the other guy who just drove it before him.
Exactly. Hopefully it's learning the right person's thing. You get in a rental car like that when it gets to the rental stage, and you're going to be like, who was driving this last?
Right.
But yeah, that's, again, it's not even, now it's, I call it really smart cruise control instead of just smart cruise control. It's learning how you drive and mimicking that so that you're comfortable, you know, the way you, how close you follow a car, or how aggressively you hit the gas when you have room in front of you. Now the cruise control can do it just like you did.
Some of these things always seem sort of high end, but I guess in some sense, maybe with the driving, it has a better fuel mileage. Maybe there's a safety issue that occurs because of all of this, too?
Yeah, that's what's great, too, is a lot of these features, they either didn't exist, or if they existed, they were on high-end cars, and they were a lot more money. And now many of them are standard or available on middle- and low-priced cars. I mean, you can get smart cruise control on basically economy cars now. So that makes things safer when you've got the ability for the car to have this kind of radar, and it will have collision warning and automatic braking when it senses that you're going to hit something and you aren't hitting the brake hard enough. And that's safety improvements for people at every price range that wasn't available even 2, 3, 5 years ago.
Is this becoming intuitive, or do I have to have twice as big of a glove compartment to hold the manual for all this stuff that gets added to the vehicle?
Well, no, you don't, because, you know, the other big trend is that they're putting the owner's manual into the car's infotainment system. So now you can pull it up on your screen, and instead of having 200 pages to wade through and hope you find the right thing, they have like smart search, just like they do for everything now. And when you're trying to figure out how do I Bluetooth connect my phone, you can type that in to the screen in the car, and it pulls up that section of the owner's manual for you to read.
Right. Sometimes trying to find a light bulb change is either under the fuse or under the electrical, or it could be under a safety issue, sometimes depending on how the guy decided to arrange it. But as you mentioned, the display allows us to find it the way we want to. And it's taking that other technology in our daily life that we're used to and putting in our vehicle. Where can we find out some more information about some of these new trends and some of these neat things that have been going on?
Sure. If you go to iccars.com's homepage and scroll down about halfway, there'll be a section that says studies. And the first link under there is top 10 automotive technologies for 2021. And we've listed a lot of the stuff we were just talking about and kind of which cars they're available on. You can read about what's out there. If you're thinking of buying a car, especially a new car, you should be aware of which technologies are out there and which ones you might want to make sure you have when you buy.
Sounds good. Carl, we appreciate your time. Thanks for sharing some of this cool stuff with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Carl Brower joining us this morning, automotive expert and executive analyst with iccars.com.